Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they excommunicated him. We'll see that again and again in these last days. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees will terminate, they will excommunicate, censor, and disfellowship those who give true testimonies regarding Christ and his teachings. You'll see that over and over again. Nothing is new. It's happened before in the days of Christ. And in his words here, he's warning us for our own day to expect it to happen again. Jesus heard what had been done, and finding him soon after, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" For the first time, the blind man looked upon the face of his restorer. Before the council, he had seen his parents troubled and perplexed. He had looked upon the frowning faces of the rabbis. Now his eyes rested upon the loving, peaceful countenance of Jesus. Already, at great cost to himself, he had acknowledged him as a delegate of divine power. Now a higher revelation was granted him. To the Savior's question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" the blind man replied by asking, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." The man cast himself at the Savior's feet in worship. Not only had his natural sight been restored, but the eyes of his understanding had been opened. Christ had been revealed to his soul, and he received him as the Son of God. A group of Pharisees had gathered near, and the sight of them brought to the mind of Jesus the contrast ever manifest in the effect of his words and works. He said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind." Christ had come to open the blind eyes, to give light to them that sit in darkness. He declared himself to be the light of the world, and the miracle just performed was an attestation of his mission. The people who beheld the Savior at his advent were favored with a fuller manifestation of the divine presence than the world had ever enjoyed before. The knowledge of God was revealed more perfectly, but in this very revelation, judgment was passing upon men. Their character was tested, their destiny determined. The manifestation of divine power that had given to the blind man both natural and spiritual sight had left the Pharisees in yet deeper darkness. Some of his hearers, feeling that Christ's words applied to them, inquired, "Are we blind also?" Jesus answered, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. If God had made it impossible for you to see the truth, your ignorance would involve no guilt. But now ye say, 'We see.' You believe yourselves able to see, and reject the means through which alone you could receive sight. To all who realize their need, Christ came with infinite help, but the Pharisees would confess no need. They refused to come to Christ, and hence they were left in blindness, a blindness for which they were themselves guilty." Jesus said, "Your sin remaineth." Here we see the characteristic of Laodiceans then, as it closes the chapter here. Of all heathen Laodicean Pharisees, when you show them that they're in heathenism or idolatry, and they're polluting God's Sabbath with idolatry, and they're in Satan worship, and you can give all the references for all of that from God's Word, when you show them of their blindness, they refuse to see. They refuse to look at God's Word. They reject God's Word. And because of this rejection of truth, They're left in deeper darkness. They fail to recognize their need. That is such a Laodicean thing, isn't it? They fail to recognize their need. And what does God say about the importance of recognizing our need? In Testimonies to Ministers, page 519, paragraph 3, our need is the qualification which gives us the assurance that we shall receive the gift of grace. When we recognize and feel and acknowledge our need, that is the very qualification by which we receive grace. Testimonies to Ministers, page 519, paragraph 3. The Pharisees, heathen Laodicean Pharisees, according to the Laodicean message, rich and increased with goods, and what? In need of nothing. They feel no need. Even though it may be explained to them that they're in Sabbath polluting with idolatry and they're in Satan worship, they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping Satan, and so it is today. Even though that's explained to them and shown them from the Word of God, they still feel no need because they reject Christ, they reject the truth. And yet they walk then in deeper darkness when this event happens. Why? They feel no need. Since they feel no need, is grace available to them then? Absolutely not. According to Testimonies to Ministers, page 519, paragraph 3. Our need and acknowledging our need is the very qualification by which we receive grace. Again, Testimonies to Ministers, 519, paragraph 3. So contrary to this heathen world and its teachings, when you're convicted or when I'm convicted, we've done something wrong and we have a need. Let us not run away from this need. Let us not spiritually deny this need. Let us embrace this need. Let us see that it is necessary for our salvation to embrace our need, because it's the very qualification by which we receive grace and therefore forgiveness. Without sensing our need, there can be no grace, there can be no forgiveness, there can be no robe of Christ's righteousness, there can be no eternal life in God's holy city. Let us then not run from our need, not deny our need, like heathen Laodicean Pharisees do. Over and over here, Christ showed them how they had been wrong time after time in this chapter. And yet, time after time, they would acknowledge no need. Brothers and sisters, when our need comes home to us, when we realize that we have done something wrong, we have a need, let us not run away from that need. Let us not deny it, but embrace it and take it to Christ in prayer. For acknowledging that need, again, is the very qualification by which we receive grace. Let us not be like the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, who profess, simply give false witness that they are Christians and Seventh-day Adventists, but they will not acknowledge any need. They will not acknowledge that they're in open Sabbath polluting with open idolatry or open heathenism and Satan worship. They will not acknowledge that. They have no need, and that's where they have dug their stand. They have no need. And without need, they are not qualified for grace. Though they ask for forgiveness of sins, it's not granted. The grace for forgiveness of sins is not granted because they feel no need. Without need, without a feeling of and acknowledging a need, there is no grace. Then there is no forgiveness for sin. There is no clothing with the righteousness of Christ. Then there is no entrance into God's holy city. There's a lot to be said in the words, in the Laodicean message when it describes Laodiceans rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. There's so much to be known there. In Four Testimonies, page 88, in paragraph 3, you can read for yourself that Laodiceans are without the graces of Christ. Why? We should know that by now. According to Testimonies to Ministers, 519, paragraph 3, they feel no need. And need is the very qualification by which we receive grace. So here it closes our chapter by reminding us indirectly that Christ was dealing with Pharisees who were also heathen Laodicean Pharisees because they would confess no need. And when the truth came to them, as it does today to their counterparts, and they reject that truth, not only are they murdering or crucifying Christ afresh when they reject that truth, but they go forth from then to grope in deeper darkness than before. A rejection of truth means that men then walk in deeper darkness. Next Sabbath, we'll continue on in our study in Desire of Ages with chapter 52, The Divine Shepherd, on page 476. Let's kneel for prayer and close our worship service today. Father, we thank you for the lesson that we read in Desire of Ages in your word, Sabbath by Sabbath, and this Sabbath too, that by reading it strengthens our faith because we see in our experience the parallel that you did first in your experience in dealing with the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of your day. Our faith is strengthened as we realize we're walking the same way you walked by dealing with the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day. We thank you for being ever so patient with us as you were with your disciples, to help us shed and leave alongside the narrow way the false teachings that we may have imbibed from the heathen Laodicean Pharisees before we understood the difference between heathen Laodiceans and Christian Seventh-day Adventists. In these regards then, Lord, even when we didn't know it, you were healing us. We ask for this healing to continue for each individual member of our home church. And we also ask, especially by this intercessory prayer, that this healing continue with those that have departed from among us. We ask that they might be made like the blind man, not his parents, but like the blind man who became able to spiritually see. We ask for that regarding the children and the adults that have walked back into heathen Laodiceanism. In their blindness, we ask, Lord, that they might be like that blind man that we read about today, able to accept truth and Christ, able to oppose heathen Laodicean Pharisees, even at the cost of excommunication, be willing to follow Christ and go outside of what Laodiceans call the church. In this regard, then, Lord, we thank you that you're restoring us to health. We ask for this restoration to take place among the children and the adults that have walked away and gone back into heathen Laodiceanism. And we ask for this restoration to take place also among our friends that are still in Sunday-keeping churches, and our neighbors as well. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. We claim this promise today from Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. May your will be done, individual by individual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to worship and for your input, for your testimonies, and for your songs. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Happy and peaceful Sabbath. Goodbye for now.